Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
All this week, we're looking at different countries in Asia and how their relationships with the U.S. and China are changing. Yesterday, we checked in on Vietnam. Today, Pakistan. Joining us now is Shamila Chaudhry, a senior fellow at New America. Shamila, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, let's talk about how Chinese influence has been growing in Pakistan, because it's been growing pretty extensively over the last many years.
Indeed, it has. The Chinese have always had a very close strategic partnership with the Pakistanis that goes back several decades. But not until the past 10 years have they really increased their focus on economic engagement. And essentially what that economic engagement has enabled is a much closer partnership on many other levels. And so through Chinese investments in infrastructure development, power plants, building roads and a variety of highways, they've been able to build closer ties with the Pakistani military and increase their sales of military weapons. And the Chinese are essentially testing out some of their more exploratory military capabilities through this enhanced partnership with the Pakistanis.
Well, and one of the things that they've done is they've refurbished a port in Pakistan and then created a link from that port to China, because China and Pakistan border each other. And this is going to allow China to get goods where it wants them to go. And it's easier and cheaper than shipping them.
That's right. It's the most efficient route, frankly, for the Chinese to move things out of China. Now, the question here is who benefits from that? Obviously, the Chinese benefit from that immensely in terms of the economic opportunities. There's also a big kind of strategic military advantage for both China and Pakistan in the case of the Chinese taking over this port, and that is to strategically pressure the Indians, which, as we all know, have a tense relationship with Pakistan, and there are a variety of disputes between the Chinese and the Indians as well. And so this is an attempt, I believe, by both China and Pakistan to shift the needle a little bit on the question of India's regional influence and how it's perceived as more powerful and dominant over Pakistan. And it offers the Pakistanis more comfort that the Chinese are coming in now and rebalancing the Pakistan-India relationship, because right now the United States is absent from that. And historically, the U.S. has been the one that balances India-Pakistan tensions.
Well, and let's talk about the U.S. here, because the U.S. has had a relationship. It's obviously very close with India, but it's also had a close relationship with Pakistan, especially in the fight against terrorism. But the Trump administration came in and cut off a lot of funding, more than $1 billion of funding to Pakistan. What happened there?
Well, I think it's important to put the decreased funding from the U.S. to Pakistan in a broader historical context. It is very much a natural extension of the Bush and Obama era policies and frustrations with Pakistanis not delivering on war on terror expectations. And so I think regardless of who's in charge of the U.S. government, this was an inevitable outcome of working on kind of a war on terror that had a lot of kind of expectations undefined between the U.S. and Pakistan.
Well, and we remember that bin Laden was in Pakistan. He was hiding in Pakistan. And many think that the Pakistanis, at least some people in Pakistan, knew exactly where he was before the U.S. went and found him.
Yeah, and that idea is still very much out there. And I think it's a hard thing for both sides to get over. And so resentment politics kind of dominates the U.S.-Pakistan relationship. And it's consistent with the Trump administration's foreign policy overall. So I think that's to be expected. What's very interesting about what's happening right now is that this Chinese-Pakistan relationship and how that's not really impacting how the Trump administration looks at Pakistan. They actually don't really feel that threatened by all of the Chinese engagement in Pakistan. Part of me thinks that they're happy that someone else is doing it and they don't have to be responsible for it. But I believe that there's great risks associated with ignoring Chinese influence in Pakistan.
Well, because when the Trump administration pulled back some of that funding, very quickly thereafter, Pakistan made a deal with China to get some help with their military, right?
That's right. And this is something that Pakistan and a lot of the other countries in the region do, which is Pakistan is playing all sides because it's not in a position to make choices on who its benefactors can be. They are in an extreme economic crisis and, you know, the military wants money. And so the Chinese are happy to fill that space. And Pakistani political insiders will tell us that, look, the U.S. wasn't offering us what we needed anymore and China was knocking on our doors. So we're gladly taking their help, but we're also open to others jumping in.
Now, the U.S. was in particular concerned about the war in Afghanistan and the U.S. presence in Afghanistan and getting help from Pakistan when it comes to the Taliban. The Chinese also have their own concerns about the Xinjiang province, which borders Pakistan, right? And they want to make sure that the Pakistanis are helping them in that case.
That's right. The Chinese have always had a very limited focus on terrorism when it comes to Pakistan and Afghanistan. They really just don't want these two countries, which are on their periphery, to, you know, spill over conflict and terrorism into Xinjiang, where the Chinese feel like they have plenty of problems to deal with. And so I think that the U.S. and other Western nations see that as an opportunity to get the Chinese to take more responsibility on broader terrorism issues. That's a high expectation of the Chinese. They tend to stay out of the politics of the countries they work on. But we have seen them start to engage a little bit more. For example, they want to be helpful in facilitating peace talks with the Taliban. And during my last trip to the region in just January of this year, a lot of Pakistani intellectuals felt like the Chinese might be the best country to lead the conversation with the Taliban instead of the United States. So I thought that was an interesting development.
So what are your concerns about this? You say that maybe the Trump administration is not taking it seriously enough how much Chinese influence is growing in Pakistan.
Well, with Chinese influence and economic engagement comes Chinese ways of doing things and essentially the exportation of tools of authoritarianism. So are they offering the Pakistanis tools of surveillance, facial recognition software, all these other kind of technological capabilities that could be then used against Pakistani civil society, against human rights activists, against Afghan refugees? I think we have to think about how then Chinese influence enables the Pakistani military in particular to pursue objectives that, you know, are not in kind of line with U.S. interests or values. Mm-hmm.
It sounds also like there is a little mistrust that is forming among Pakistanis about the Chinese investments.
There is. And I think, you know, the political hype surrounding Chinese engagement in Pakistan is something that's unavoidable for any government there. Pakistan is known to have extremely weak civilian governments, and each government has used foreign aid and assistance as a way to prop themselves up. You know, we have to look at how China is used as a domestic tool in a lot of the countries that it operates in.
Leaving aside the politics of it, because I think it would be very difficult for the U.S. to get something like this funded, do you think as you look at what China is doing in the region and particularly in Pakistan, that the U.S. would be well served by doing its own sort of Belt and Road initiative around the world?
This is such a hard question because the reality is that those kinds of activities, infrastructure development, loans that the Chinese give countries, you know, with undisclosed kind of terms, the U.S. doesn't engage in that anymore, mainly because they're party to so many kind of international institutions with norms and standards that are expected of it. And the Chinese can operate much more freely and quickly because they're not part of Paris Club and they don't have to answer to the IMF or they're not a shareholder there. And so they're just much more capable at assuming risk. And the United States is not. And the best way to stay involved is for the United States to kind of complement any kind of Chinese activities that are happening on the economic side of things and maintain strong diplomatic and foreign aid relationships with countries like Pakistan so that at least American diplomats and military officials can have visibility into what's happening between Pakistan and China, say.
That is Shamila Chaudhry, who is a senior fellow at New America. Shamila, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll continue our series tomorrow with a look at the Philippines and how its president, Rodrigo Duterte, has moved closer to China. You'll be able to hear our whole series at hereandnow.org.